down to about 52.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Line one, Glenn. I'm sorry. Line one, Ned from Glen Allen. Ned, you're on the. You're live.
Hey, John. How are you doing this morning? I talked to you last week, and
Ned,
I did want to mention that I did. I watched just your coverage on election night, and it was fantastic. Thank you. Hey, while you're down there, you should check out an organization called the Center for Voter Information. They sent out a mailing in Georgia and many other states of absentee ballot applications, and in Virginia. They did the same thing. 2 million applications. The return address was Carey Street in Richmond. It's a UPS store with a post office box. So they got every envelope back where the voter didn't live at the address. And they targeted unmarried women who move often, they say, without changing their address, minorities and young people. So when Georgia finds 132,000 ballots of people that had moved, I'll bet you anything it's this organization that was the source. They're tied to Clinton, Soros, Tom Steyer. The other thing, how come nobody's talking about Scorecard Hammer, the program that changes votes on the Dominion system? The Dominion voter system's in most of these states, and when they find 6,000 votes switched in Michigan, I'm sure it was the Scorecard program.
Well, look, I mean, all this is going to have to be investigated. I mean, there were 5,000 votes in Michigan alone that in one precinct were supposed to go to Trump. They went to Biden. I mean, that's a difference of 10,000 votes right there. There's another 47 precincts where the system was used. All of this is going to have to be investigated. And what you say about Georgia, I mean, there's a potential, I have to say this, 130,000 votes out there. That basically could be double votes. Now, people that were registered someplace else. I mean, those are legal, and so all of this. So none of this is decided. The bottom line, Glenn, none of this is decided, right? And so what we have to do is we have to have a steely spine. We have to stand tall. We have to demand the recount. We have to demand that every one of these ballots get scrutinized. Because even if it doesn't turn it, and I think it will, honestly, but even if it doesn't, Ned, if we cave now. Like Romney wants to do, and Pat Toomey wants to do, and Cotton and these other Nikki Haley,
no
these
way.
Other feckless weasels. If we came now,
way.
You'll never win again, Ned.
That's
you'll
right.
never win again, ever.
That's
they will
right.
steal every election in perpetuity. So you never
Starting
win again. So
January.
We have to fight, right?
Starting in January, they're going to steal that one.
I agree with you. So that's why I'm here, and I'm going to be here for 2 weeks. I'm going to try to get a radio station here. I'm going to launch the Virginia Star. I've got my best people here. This stuff costs money, but, you know, if not me, who, right? I got to get here and shine a little light on this stuff, get all the people on, give them a platform, because the other corporate media in Georgia is not going to do it. They're simply not going to do it. And so
well,
that's why I'm
much.
Here. And anybody out there that wants to help us out with a donation, we'd appreciate it. Go to John Frederick's Radio. JohnFrederickRadio.com. Donation right there. We're gonna launch a Georgia Star in 2 weeks exactly, and I'm gonna be here right at the head of it. Ned, thank you, man. Thank you. Hang in there, Ned. Hey, keep fighting, Ned. Let's get to line two. Sean in Newport News. Sean, you're live.
Good morning, John. Look, this is gonna be a serious undertaking. We cannot allow this. If there's fraud. Okay, we know there's irregularities. We cannot let this continue on in the future, and that's why it's got to be settled now. We got to get inside these four major cities. There's no way you're telling me that Biden underperformed Clinton and Obama in every single major city throughout the country except for Milwaukee, Detroit, Georgia, and Philly. You're not convincing me of that, okay? You're not convincing me the entire trend of the vote, the election, went Republican, picked up state houses, picked up House seats, the deck was stacked against us in the Senate, okay? So we have to go in there with forensic teams, check paper. I don't know what they're going to do, hand count. They're going to have to figure it out. They're the smart ones. And they're going to have to get votes tossed, okay, toss out of Wisconsin. That's, what, 10, 20,000? I think that's doable. Michigan's going to be tough. That's 150,000. But Georgia, I think that's easy day. And Philly or Pennsylvania, that is a complete poop show. So this is doable. It's scary. I don't admire. Or I wouldn't want to be in Trump's shoes right now. But if this is allowed to go on, we will never in our lives see another Republican president, because all you need is big cities to play shenanigans. They have the numbers to do it, and it's not that difficult. They've proven it today.
All right, thank you, Sean. You are so right, Sean. You are spot on, 100% spot on. You got to fight. That's why we're here. You've got to fight right now, or you'll never win another election. They'll steal every single one of them. They have figured it out. I mean, the Democrats have figured out now how to rob and steal and thief and stuff ballots and harvest ballots. They figured it out. And as long as they've got Democratic governors, they'll be able to keep doing it like they did in Pennsylvania. This is why, look, some of these are going to be overturned. I don't have any doubt about it. Maybe Wisconsin, definitely Pennsylvania, definitely Georgia, and we'll see what Arizona. Again, if Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arizona are overturned and Trump is named the winner, he's inaugurated. But bigger than that, we got to do the right thing. We're on every day. Den, thanks for being with us. John Fredericks Radio Network, live in Atlanta, fighting the good fight. Martha Zoller is next.
The John Frederick Show.
Let's get to John Finley with us right now, and he's in Richmond. Hey, John, great to have you with us.
Yeah, great to be back, John. Great to be back.
Look, John, you went out and you were working on a campaign in Ohio. You won that easy by 7 points. With all of the emphasis on the Senate and on the Biden-Trump race, tell us what happened in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, I mean, well, and so it's being ignored, but, you know, and again, you know, we're all, the emphasis needs to be right now on the runoffs in Georgia and on the recounts, but the Republicans had a great night. I mean, so far, you know, in the media, you know, kind of fake news media is not calling a bunch of these races, so they've called 215 Democrats, 196 Republicans. You need 218 for a majority, which doesn't sound good, but then there are several safe seats that haven't been called. There's 5 in New York, 3 in California, 1 in Texas, and 1 in Alaska for Republicans, and that would take Republicans to 206. And then there's 4 more seats that are very likely to be Republican in California. We'll be up to 210. And there's, you know, we're leading in 1 seat in Utah. We're leading in 1 seat in New York that likely won't go our way but could, and there's a couple others. So, you know, we're going to end up with 210 to 211 seats, you know, in the House of Representatives. And Nancy Pelosi, to get reelected, needs 218 for a majority. And there were 10 Democrats that didn't vote for her last time. And if they don't vote for her, then, you know, if 10 Democrats don't vote for her this time, she won't be the Speaker.
If you have 211 seats, John, then how many would the Democrats have?
They would have right around 225.
So they would have
a margin of 7. But remember, she had 10 people that voted against her last time. Pelosi did, who were Democrats.
Right. Right. So, like Spanberger.
Yeah, Abigail Spanberger. I mean, some of them got defeated, but you know, Connor Lamb is still back, unfortunately. Jared Golden from Maine. Ron Kind from Wisconsin, they're all back. You know, I mean, those are 4 representatives that I would predict are not going to vote for Pelosi under any circumstances whatsoever. So that means that she really has a margin of, like, you know, three Democrats. If 3 Democrats decide, you know, we don't want Nancy Pelosi at that point, then, you know, and they all vote no, or they just abstain. They don't even need to vote for anyone else. They just abstain. And if she doesn't get to 218, you know, she wouldn't be Speaker anymore. So, you know, she is probably going insane right now, wheeling and dealing, promising, trying to call people, promising everything left and right, just to ensure that she is a Speaker again. And then let's put this in perspective, John. Before the election, all the major mainstream media, you know, House rating agencies, you know, two of them said that our race that we won by 7 points in Ohio, they said it was lean Democrat. They said the Democrat was likely to take over. They said Democrats were going to pick up between 5 and 10 seats in the House, and they're going to lose over 10 seats in the House. I mean, you know, so it's crazy how badly they got it wrong.
They got it wrong. Also, didn't we pick up two general assemblies, two state houses?
Oh, yeah, and in New Hampshire, you pick up the state house and the state senate there. Republicans have the trifecta. I mean, and Democrats, they spent millions of dollars targeting, you know, they were going to flip Texas. They were going to flip the Arizona legislature. They were going to flip the Minnesota legislature. They were going to flip the Georgia legislature. And in North Carolina, you know, it was like Howard Dean election. We're going to go here and here and here and here and here. And just like Howard Dean, they failed miserably. It was embarrassing. They didn't flip any of those legislative chambers.
So, John, give me the John Finley with us. John Finley just got back from who was your candidate, John, in Ohio?
Steve Shabbat. Steve Shabbat, greatest congressman ever. He really is most humble servant ever. So, yeah.
All right, so you won that race. Also, John Finley gets Virginia. Obviously, he was the executive director of the Republican Party of Virginia, serving under John Whitbeck and then for a time under Jack Wilson. And so he knows the state. But, John, what you're saying is fascinating. So it looks like the Republicans needed 17 seats. It looks like they're going to pick up maybe 10. That leaves a deficit of 7, right? So they got a 7-seat deficit right now if what you say. And it seems like what you said is probably a conservative. They're going to get probably 211 seats if you look at everything. So, and that gives 225 to the Democrats, but Pelosi's hanging by a thread, right? So, and then how do these people like Conor Lamb and Abigail Spanberger, they voted against her last time, then Spanberger gets on her conference call and blasts Pelosi, how do they turn around and vote for this time?
Oh, there's no way that they can. They can't. I mean, Abigail doesn't. I mean, if Abigail wants to be, you know, we have the fair redistricting in Virginia passed, so she can't get a tailor-made district. She's going to have another tough district. And so, you know, she has a very simple choice, and that's, you know, does she want to serve another term or not after this? And the answer is she really wants to serve another term. That's what she wants. So, she will not vote for Pelosi, I bet, under any circumstances. I mean, there's same thing with Conor Lamb. I mean, he's in a district where he had to run as being, you know, pro-Second Amendment, and, you know, and pro-life and all this other stuff. You know, he can't. Same with Ron Kind in rural Wisconsin and Jared Golden in rural Maine. I mean, you know, Trump won both those, the last two districts I mentioned. He won both those districts. So, I mean, you know, those districts are not coming back, and they need to show that they're moderate, so they can't vote for Pelosi at all. So, you know, I don't think that it comes down to there were three or four votes last time that were from members that were in safer Democrat seats, but still kind of, you know, lean suburban. And, you know, will they get bribed enough by Pelosi? Will Pelosi give an offer that's, you know, too good to refuse, so to speak? But, you know, it's going to be close. I mean, she's not going to get much above 218. I mean, you know, her ceiling is maybe, you know, 221, 220. So, you know, no one likes dealing with that margin. So, yeah.
So what would she do? She would somebody would have to challenge her, though, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, if they just if enough people just voted, they just abstained, and she doesn't get to 218. Now, this hasn't happened since, like, 1924. And so Pelosi probably will be reelected, but again, she could. It's going to be close, and she might not. If enough people don't vote, and she gets 217 votes, John, then 217 votes, they have another ballot. And you know, there in the 1920s, the last time this happened, there were 9 ballots for speaker before they finally chose a speaker. I mean, it would be the best television ever, John. You could do it live. I hope you do if it happens. If she doesn't get 217, they rehold the vote and they go, okay, who do we vote again? And she could run again. It's not like she would be eliminated, but it would, at that point, it would just be so embarrassing. I mean, it probably won't happen, but can you just picture that in your head, John? Just Nancy being like, oh, you know, just a look on her face. You know, it would be like that time she tore apart the president's speech, only even worse. She'd be so angry. I mean, again, it's probably a dream job, but it's one worth picturing in your head for a second, because I mean, it would just be too perfect.
John, oh, it's great to have some levity, John. I'm here in Buckhead, Atlanta. We got a great location, as always, at the Intercontinental Hotel, overlooking downtown Atlanta. That is a sight that I would love to see. John Finley with us. Now he's free and unencumbered, and he can do media. He ran a campaign in Ohio. Steve Chabot's campaign won that by 7. That was Lean Dem. And now he's back in Richmond, and he's former executive director of the Republican Party of Virginia. Now, John, it's kind of scary, right? Now you're loose. You're off the leash. You're off the chain. You're off the muzzle. You're loose.
I'm not totally loose. I love you, John. So I'd love to come on and give you. I mean, put you in stitches for a bit, so you have trouble not laughing on air. I think it stinks right now that we lost we haven't lost him yet, you know, but it stinks with where it is with the president and how we're having to go to a recount, how he's having to fight a legal battle to get every single vote counted. There's still a lot of good things happening out there, and I think that the future's bright. Clearly the president's message resonated with minorities. You got the highest share of the minority vote for a Republican since 1960. I think there's a lot of good things that happened in this election, and hopefully once we count every legal vote, he'll still be the president. But, you know, win or lose, the Democrats and the mainstream media have just beclowned themselves because they were talking about how they were going to pack the Supreme Court. You know, how are they going to do that, John? Even if Biden were to win, how are they going to do that? You know, even if they win both seats in Georgia, you know, Manchin will never go along with that.
No, Manchin will vote against that. In fact, I was thinking the other day, if somehow we did lose these two seats, that, you know, McConnell could go to Manchin and say, look, I mean, West Virginia voted 70% for Trump. Why don't you switch parties? I'll make you chairman or whatever you want. You know, you're not really a Democrat anyway. That could happen. There's a lot of different scenarios, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we win these seats. John Finley with us, former executive director, Republican Party of Virginia. John, let me ask you this. You said there were two state houses we flipped, New Hampshire. What was the other one again?
No, they were both in New Hampshire. New Hampshire House and New Hampshire Senate.
Okay.
So, something might have happened in Alaska as well, but Alaska had these weird alliances up there where it's like they Republicans win majorities, but then half the Republicans go and caucus with Democrats.
It's weird.
It's a lot more honest than Washington, where you know a quarter of our members vote with Democrats, but they just don't change parties. So at least in Alaska, they're honest about that. But
let's get to Virginia, okay? And let's just talk turkey. Let's talk honestly. Let's start with the second, a very disappointing loss for Scott Taylor. He got crushed. I can't spin it. He lost Virginia Beach to Elaine Lawyer by 12,000 votes. Trump lost Virginia Beach. Bobby Dyer, the Republican mayor, won Virginia Beach. A lot of ticket splitting going on. Taylor lost by, I think, 15,000 votes. He lost last time by maybe, 3,000 or 4,000. So the margin increased dramatically. My opinion, I love Scott. He's a good friend of mine. I consider him a very close friend. Politically, John, I think he's done.
Listen, I love Scott, and I don't, being in another state, I don't want to, you know, do political catch-22s on people or play Monday morning quarterback on races where I wasn't here. But, I mean, it is, you know, it's hard to do. I will say with both the result in Virginia 2 and Virginia 7, you know, they aren't as Democrat as they look right now. Biden was on air in both in Metro Richmond and Metro Hampton Roads for 2 months, and, you know, the Trump campaign was on air, not there, because they were focused on states where they knew that they could win.
And they ran out of money.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, I'm not going to dispute what you said there. So I think that the Democrat numbers are inflated in those seats. But yeah, the election in the second was not particularly close. But I do think it is a winnable seat in the future. So I don't think it's a safe Dem seat. I don't think it's gone.
Let's go to 7. Spanberger hanging on there by. She beat, Dave by 6,000 votes, and her margin actually went down. She beat Freitas. Right now she's ahead by 5,000, but that's very, very close, and that's still, you know, there's still votes to be counted. I think somebody's got to look at a thumb drive that was mislabeled.
It's probably outside the margin, but, we'll see. You know, it might not be. The fact is that Nick Freitas ran a hell of a race.
Yeah,
I mean, Abigail Spanberger was the best funded incumbent, or one of the best funded incumbents in the country. I mean, I watched go online, look up Club for Growth, look up Congressional Leadership Fund, NRCC, and you can watch all the outside spending against Abigail Spanberger. And Abigail has voted so, you know, with such precision and been so careful with her public statements. They didn't have anything to run against her on.
Right.
It was, she'll be just like Nancy Pelosi. Well, she voted against Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And I'm not faulting the outside groups. I mean, they did the best that they could. The problem is that Abigail votes like a Republican half the time. And so it's hard to pigeonhole her as some liberal. She didn't say anything about defund the police. She didn't say anything about Green New Deal or Medicare for All. And, you know, so she's been very vocal on it. So it's really, you know, Nick had, and she's fundraises money like nobody's business. I mean, just millions and millions and millions of dollars. So for Nick Freitas to take on an incumbent like that and, you know, win or lose, take her to the wire on it, I think it is an incredible accomplishment. I think the district is clearly, that district only voted for Biden by 1% or less. And less than 50% of the vote. So, you know, it's definitely one that we can win in the future. And with the fair redistricting, won't allow the Dems to gerrymander a safe seat for Abigail. So she'll constantly be on her toes, but she is just so hard to beat. That's the problem with that seat, you know. And I don't think, you know, there's nothing that I could say where it's like, oh, well, Nick clearly could have done X, Y, Z and then would have won. He ran a great race.
I think he's going to run again in 2022, and we'll see what happens there. But I think he runs again. He ran a great race, a lot of energy, and his name ID is high, and he ran a great race. So I think he'll be back. John Finley, I'm out of time. Thanks for being with us. I'm live in Atlanta, Georgia.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. Online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. You ride with me, ride with me.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. They're on their way now to the International Space Station. SpaceX's second crew includes two military officers who played a little college football, a former space shuttle flight controller, and a longtime scout from Japan. Four astronauts blasting off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida Sunday night. Britain will be the first nation to run final stage trials of an experimental coronavirus vaccine being developed by pharmaceutical giant Janssen. Scientists will begin recruiting some 6,000 people in the UK for that 12-month trial. Troubling news out of Belgium today. This report by Amnesty International says that Belgium authorities abandoned thousands of elderly people who died in nursing homes during the pandemic. Report says one of the reasons so many died, they were not taken to the hospital. This is SRN News.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Looking for a slight chance of showers through tonight, otherwise mostly sunny all day and all week, with highs today about 83, and then highs Monday and Tuesday into the lower 70s. Looking for highs Wednesday by the mid-60s and back into the lower 90s for the rest of the week. As for the nights, looking for clear skies through Wednesday night down to about 50.
Hi, I'm Chef Matthew Madur.
And I'm Chef David Madur.
We are the founders of Madur Brothers Culinary Concepts.
And creators of M Shack, your favorite local burger place.
When we decided to branch from fine dining to open M Shack, we knew we wanted to build a much better burger.
Hey Matt, can you build a better burger with just toppings?
Nah.
Better condiments?
I don't think so.
A better bun?
It's like I said from the beginning, Dave, you gotta grind your own meat.
You didn't say that in the beginning.
I did say that from the beginning, we had to grind our own meat.
Well, I agree. But what kind of top quality meat are you talking about?
Chuck brisket, bro. What else is there?
Ha, I can't argue with that one.
And Dave, that's how you build a better burger.
M Shack Burgers, Shakes, and More. It takes family to build a better burger. Let the M Shack brothers build your family a better burger. Stop in for happy hour between 3 and 5 for $3 burgers, shakes, and more. Visit mshackburgers.com and order online. M Shack Burgers. Let our family build your family a better burger.
To bypass the CNNs and the MSNBCs. To bypass the New York Times and the Washington Post. ABC and NBC and CBS. There's some fellow conservatives out there who are very troubled by this. They haven't even acknowledged what just took place. It's okay. They'll learn to understand. It's not about personality. It's about liberty. That's our watchword, liberty. And I'm very excited about it.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
It's the best of the John Frederick Show, y'all!
Joining us now, Jenny Beth Martin, live, founder of the Tea Party here in Georgia and nationally. Jenny Beth, you look fantastic. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So we're here. We're dug in. What do you think of our headquarters here?
I think your headquarters is great. You know, you just have to go and make the most of it. So it's good. And I saw you several months ago, the first week we were opening up here in Georgia.
That's right. Yes, correct. Yeah. Yes. So we're here and we're launching the Georgia Star newspaper. I just hired two reporters who are starting today. We're launching that November 18th to try to bring some transparency and competition to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We're trying to get a radio network here. I'm in the midst of negotiation with that. But Jenny Beth, here we are, ground zero.
Here we are, ground zero. So our Secretary of State, you may have already covered this, but Brad Raffensperger, he has called for a full manual recount statewide in Georgia, also an audit of the presidential election and a re-canvass of the votes. And so I've been volunteering over in the war room, helping out with the recount team, and it's a lot's happening very, very quickly. I'm glad to see that we're getting the recount. And one of the things I think that the Secretary of State said that is the most important is that we're going to count every legal vote, that we're going to make sure every legal vote is counted, and I agree with that, and I want to make sure that we are counting votes that were truly cast legally.
Jenny Beth, how significant is this hand recount? There's almost 6 million votes in Georgia. First, Raffensperger, I'm not a fan. First, he said, nothing to see here. Then you got Jeff Duncan said, goes on CNN, runs to CNN, says, oh, there's no fraud, it was clean. They didn't even do an investigation. Now we find out that dead people voted absentee, which is fraud, so stop saying there's no fraud. But how significant, Jenny Beth Martin, is the hand recount of almost 6 million votes one by one? How significant is that?
Well, I think that is important. I do think that that is important. I think also I was saying this on another program even earlier this week and last week. One of the things that really needs to happen is we need to make sure and validate that each of the people who voted were legally allowed to vote in the state of Georgia. And I don't know that that is going to show up in the recount itself. So I'm glad that he's doing that, and I think that that was a win. But I think that the audit, if the audit is going through and making sure, and I'm not exactly positive how the audit plays out. I don't know all the details for that yet. But if it's making sure that the people who voted are indeed legal voters, or that they followed all the procedures, that the signatures match everywhere they're supposed to have matched, that they use their voter ID, whatever else may have been needed when you first were validating that the person who walked into the room or put something in the mail was indeed a valid legal voter in Georgia, then you deal with a recount. But I think that's really where we've got to figure out what happened before the votes were cast, or right before the vote was cast.
How are you going to do that?
Well, I'm going to have to find out what the audit actually entails. And there may be, from a conversation I had with the state legislator earlier this week, it may already be set within the Georgia code. So if it's set within the Georgia code, we can figure that out. If it's not, then I think that needs to be something that is explored. People keep saying there's no evidence. And I just keep thinking, well, actually, maybe there is evidence, but I don't have access to it. The local county government is going to have the access to it, or the files from when people were scanning their IDs.
But there's a paper trail, right, of every vote in Georgia.
Yes, there is a paper trail.
There's a paper trail.
That's correct. So I just don't know how much – I don't know what is involved in the audit. If the audit goes all the way back and checks all of the paper from the moment absentee ballots were requested to when they were sent in the envelope where they had to sign, in Georgia, three signatures are supposed to match. That may have changed. I'm unclear exactly what happened in March to ease some of the signature validation in Georgia, but we still require a signature. So making sure that that matches at least somewhere, I think, is going to be important.
John Frederick's Radio Network live in Atlanta. We're with Jenny Beth Martin. Jenny, founder of the Tea Party nationally, based here in Atlanta and right in the middle of everything. We're headquartered at the Intercontinental Hotel, and we're going to be here in Georgia for 2 months, right through January 6th on the big runoff. And we're launching the Georgia Star, right? Mm-hmm. I got to get that. It's a tongue twister for me. We're launching the Georgia Star November 18th. Already hired two reporters, another one on the way. We got interviews set up over the weekend. Jenny Beth with us, also Corinne Murdoch with us of the Virginia Star. She's here covering the stuff with us as well. So let me give you a question here from Brian in Chesapeake. He says, if a dead person voted, how do you throw the vote out? If it was an absentee ballot, I don't think they keep a record of who you voted for, so no way to tell which ballots to throw it. How does that work?
That's a really good question, and that's correct. Here's the thing. I have some experience with this because I was involved in two different elections in my time in Georgia, one of which was actually not overthrown, but had to be redone after going through court. So I have experience with this from Georgia. I'm not an attorney, so I don't want to overstate everything that I know. But what my understanding is, this person is correct. Once the absentee ballot is removed from the envelope, it is then put into with all the other ballots. And so you cannot reattach it to the envelope. And the way that I kind of think of this and the way I've described it to a few people is it's like a cake. When a cake is baked chemically, you cannot separate the flour and the sugar and the eggs. So it's the results and all the ballots that have been cast, if they get into the ballot box and they are marked as a cast ballot, that's baked. But over here, before it's baked, going back and looking at what were the ingredients, what happened was a person who voted, if the signatures don't match, then maybe you go back and check, was this person even alive? Did this person really vote?
That's the purpose of the hand count. The hand count isn't just to say, well, we've run the fake ballots through the machine and the count comes up right. Kara says, are you taking calls? Absolutely. 888-480-JOHN. You want to ask me or Jenny Beth a question or Corinne Murdoch? 888-480-5646. We're live in Atlanta at the Intercontinental Hotel, our new headquarters here. We'll be here through January the 6th. 888-480-JOHN. 888-480-5646. But it's not like you're just running through the machine, right? Because if you got an absentee ballot, I mean, they're going to go back. They're going to check the address, going to check the signature. This is why it's going to take a long time. And what I've been saying all day is when they do that and they start to produce dead people, no addresses, no signatures, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, then you have a problem. But John, we need to find out what does this audit and recount mean? If the recount is just to pull the ballots out and like all the printed ballots and say, yes, it's going to be very easy to tell whether it says Joe Biden or Donald Trump or one of the other names that was on it. It's printed.
So we're not looking for an abacus audit, right? You're looking for were the ballots valid?
That is correct. But we're not looking for.
Can you confirm that was my understanding of what they were doing.
I'm not positive. You may have better information than I do. Yesterday, I did not see that, but I was doing some other work, so I did not go online to see what had been published. I'm not sure if anything has been published yet. So once it's published and we see what the Secretary of State is doing, then we will know what the parameters of the audit are. And again, the audit itself may be regulated, or you may have to audit based on whatever is in the state law. I'm not positive on that. So there are some questions there that I'm going to have to get answers for. I just don't want to give people wrong information because there are things that are floating around online that are incorrect.
Right.
So I don't want to give bad information to people. Where we're at right now, I think is a good spot because we're going to have a recount and we're going to have an audit. And I'm not an attorney and I'm not
Georgia law gives the Secretary of State, this is my understanding, and then I'm going to get to Ned and Amy. Hang on, Ned and Amy. Georgia law allows the Secretary of State to pick one race and do a full audit and recount just for, I guess, cleanliness. And the pressure on Raffensperger, who basically didn't want to do anything, the pressure on him was to do it for the presidential race. Doug Collins demanded it. Then the Republican congressional delegation demanded it. I keep saying this over and over, but Brandon Beach demanded it. I mean, when you get state senators like Brandon Beach, who is like the quintessential establishment Georgia Republican on transportation, you know, comes down on my show like you, drives an hour and is like demanding all this stuff. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like Senator Beach, like, where did this come from? And he said, I've just had enough. I've just had enough.
Well, here's the fact of the matter. We do have a runoff coming. And so if we don't understand exactly...
They're going to do it again.
They'll take the same playbook and run it again. If you don't know what happened, they will run it again. Now, I want to be very, very clear, and your audience may not like this, but I think it's important that you that people understand. I am in there volunteering all day long, every day, doing everything I can to stand up for the president and the people who voted for him, and also as a Georgian for people who cast their vote in Georgia. I'm volunteering with the recount team. But I want to be very clear. At the end of the day, if this comes out and we see that we've looked at all the evidence, and I mean all we've got to make sure that every legal is the key word there, vote is counted. So if we come back through and we see that every legal vote was counted and we lost, I will accept that.
Of course.
But and then we got to figure out what did they do to get out the vote and what playbook did they use there, because they'll use that again.
That's the second step. But the first step is,
have to know,
is it legal?
That's the most important thing.
You got to do the artist
and
all these
if
things.
You don't do that, if you do not do that, you will depress the base, because right now there are too many people across this country who think that the election
was stolen
or may have been stolen. And if you cannot reassure them that the process for voting is safe and valid, why bother casting a vote?
The John Frederick Show.
Let's get to the phone lines where we have Joe in Bridgewater. Joe, you're live.
Okay. Good morning, John. Good to hear you. I have a couple questions for you this morning, John. The Dominion voting system, when they do the hand count in Georgia there, if there was any votes stolen on them algorithms when they hand count, will they go back into the right column?
Yes, and so that's the other issue is with this Dominion software. And, you know, we covered that on our show yesterday ad nauseum. I've also done a couple articles on it up today at the Virginia Star. Go to the Virginia Star. What? Go ahead.
I missed that there, that y'all had covered that there. But anyway, well, I'm glad to hear that there. Anyway, did they use the Dominion voting system in Virginia?
Yes.
Okay. That's all the questions I have for you, John.
We'll have to look. I've had a lot of questions about Virginia, but I'm just going to be candid. I was the chairman of the Trump campaign. I lost by 350,000 votes. Okay. I mean, it's just, you know, if it was 20,000, you might be looking at 350,000 votes. I mean, the Democrats got a bigger turnout than anybody expected. And our target was 2 million. We got our 2 million. That was our target. And we were just a hair short. You know, I think we were 10,000 short of 2 million. They got 2,350,000. And so, I mean, to look at Virginia and think there was any, I mean, maybe there was shenanigans going on, and it might affect like Nick Freitas's race. He's only down by 3,000 or 4,000. He's not conceded yet. Got a story on that. Also, go to the Virginia Star. You ought to be going to the Virginia Star every day because it's hot. I mean, we got all the top stories there. But he hasn't conceded. We'll see how that goes. But, Joe, thank you. Thank you for the call and for your engagement. But, Alfredo, the other thing here is this Dominion software.
Right.
And the President Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out last night that something big was going down. We don't know what it is, but you know, you can't tweet that stuff out if you don't have something or you're not credible.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, again, we got to look into all these systems, and if there are system issues, I mean, those have to be investigated. I mean, all these are the different elements that, you know, without doing it exactly the way they're doing it right now, we just won't know if this was a legitimate race or not. And so, again, follow up on these, look into every irregularity. Will he have enough votes to make a difference, you know, in terms of what they're looking for and finding? We will see. But until that happens, we don't know who won.
Exactly. And so let's just go through the process here in Georgia. And what did they say? It was going to take about 3 weeks. I think it's starting today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Fulton County actually, I think they just reserved a big space over at the Georgia World Congress Center to do the counting.
Yeah, the president tweeting out last night that the states in question should immediately put in the Trump win column. Biden did not win. He lost by a lot. You know, the thing is, though, with this Dominion is we have to find I mean, there's a lot of disinformation, I have to say, going around, right? So we have to find exactly what is up with this Dominion software. But a lot of people are saying that once the audit's done in these states, that it's going to change Georgia, it's going to change Michigan, it's going to change Wisconsin, because it was utilized in all these states, Alfredo.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't heard the latest, John. I'm not sure if you have, on Maricopa County and what's going on there out in Arizona. I hear that may actually turn into a win column as well, if you listen to what the campaign has to say.
The campaign is saying that a lot of those votes were not accurate, that they had the voting machine problems there.
Right.
Right now, I think Trump has closed the gap in Arizona to about 10,000, but AP just called it for Biden. Not that that matters.
Yeah.
Right? They correct. Right? Like, who called?
Yeah.
Who, no, they already called it for Biden. I think who called it? CNN.
Yeah.
But again, CNN.
Well, we know Fox called it, right? Like,
Fox
the first
called
ones
it.
To call
Fox
it.
Called it when they were still voting. People were still online. Right?
Yeah.
All right. 888-480-JOHN. 888-480-5646. 888-480-5646. If you want to weigh in, you can also text us at 757-692-1710. Jeremy in Chesapeake texts in. He says, how about people that are temporarily moving to Georgia just to influence the vote? Okay, so this is the other issue that we have been all over this, Alfredo.
Yep.
Democrats advertising, hey, come to Georgia, take advantage of this loophole, play golf for a weekend, register to vote, use my address, get an absentee ballot, mail it back and go home, and you'll change the world. Andrew Yang had to, first he said he was coming to Georgia and they asked people to come stay with him. Then he had to walk it back and say he was just going here on vacation. He was not voting. Then the several key legislators, including Congresswoman-elect Marjorie Greene, called for Brian Kemp to do a special session, including establishment Republican Senator Brandon Beach demanded that, which is – Beach got my attention because – and I've said this all week. I really congratulate him. He came down here for an hour. You know, Beach is not a rabble-rouser guy.
Right.
And he came down for an hour. He was so mad, and he said, I had to come here, John, because – I'm done with all this. You know, we need a special session. Kemp needs to call it. He sent him a letter. Kemp said no. Speaker of the pro tem of the House, Jan Jones, got on my show. She said no. No special session. But then the chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia, David Schaefer, came on my show and said that they have scoured the internet for all Facebook and other advertisers or solicitations to come to Georgia and basically vote illegally. And he said, I have turned those over to the Department of Justice and we will prosecute.
David Schaefer with Georgia.
Yeah, he's the chairman of Georgia, former state senator.
Yeah.
So you got two sides here. You got the Jeff Duncans and the Jan Jones and Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, that's saying, hey, everything is fine. But then you've also got the Brandon Beaches, who are establishment people, saying, you know, we've got a real issue here. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Joseph from Richmond. Joseph, you're live.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your persistence in this investigation.
Thank you.
And I like the way you're trying to handle it, because it's not coming across as a vehement reaction, but it's a legitimate search for the truth.
Yes.
And we're familiar with the fact that after the polls were closed at 7 o'clock in our state, for instance, on voting day, and soon afterwards we were impressed by a huge lead by President Trump across the nation. And since that, there have been a lot of contingent votes counted, and it's incumbent upon someone to find out if they are legitimate votes, because the impression is out there among American citizens that, especially in the democratically strong cities like Philadelphia and others, there was a resistance to even let independents watch the voting process and keep people away from seeing who was actually counted and were they counted more than once or twice or three times. And if you keep doing that over a large territory, you will end up with the number of votes that put people out of office, such as we have had here in Virginia with the Freitas campaign. And we're not sure about it. The American people are not sure about the vote count. And I commend you and others who are staying there, keeping your, what we used to say in the olden time, keeping your nose to the grindstone and letting the truth be seen. And why would anybody want to keep the observers from the vote count like they did in Philadelphia? And I had to go to the judge, and the judge said they must be allowed to move 6 feet closer to the counting table. And they allowed them to do that, I was told.
Right.
And then the counters moved the table 6 feet further into their counting area.
Right.
Now, if that's true, that's one of the many evidences of fraudulent tabulation of the votes.
Right.
Now, I think there are many circumstances like that. And when you add them all together, you come up with dissatisfaction on the part of our country. I'm an old dude now, but I have been a registrar in the local county system in Virginia, and I worked for many years in the polling precincts. After that, as a volunteer and as a precinct officer, and I have a high respect for the count, but things are different than they have been. I commend you, both of you, and Alfredo, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Well, tu es muy bueno, hombre, español, muy rápido, and tu es muy rápido, muy fuerte.
Muchísimas gracias. Viva Trump.
Gracias. Dios le bendiga.
Igual, but, igual.
I hope that all of your efforts prove to be a monumental epiphany for us comes to this. I think you need to be diligent, and you need to know that there are those of us out here in the grassroots who are unable to do anything much. We cast our vote, but I cast one vote, my vote, and I want everybody else to be obliged to do the same. And
thank
if
you.
There are people out there who cast more than one vote, I don't like the slogans of the Democrats, which they're pushing. Every vote must count.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. We're out of time. Thank you, Joseph.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Comment.